The Nintendo Switch 2 is out and was easier to find than you thought, or sold out everywhere. Plus, Summer Game Fest kickoffs emphasize developer team sizes, but those are misleading. Tonight is June 8th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
You want to know what the real hogwash is? Is that I have like 2 hours worth of things I want to talk about, and I only get an hour. And it's fine. It's going to be a nice little challenge. We're going to see if I can get as much of it out as I can. So welcome to not a 2 hour edition, but maybe a 2 hour worth of opinions edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, thank you so much for being here. I know you might be playing Mario Kart World in handheld mode while watching us, and thank you so much. That is amazing. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us live, interact with the show directly. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. We will not be here, though, in 2 weeks from tonight. We will be at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo on that weekend in Atlanta. Rob Roberts is actually going to be in town for that as well. We have a panel on Friday night at Southern Fried Gaming Expo about games that you might have overlooked from the past. It's really Rob's way of talking about the Guardian Legend on stage. That's essentially what it is. And then we're going to talk about other games too, but we're also going to talk about Guardian Legend. So that's going to be in 2 weeks. I will be back next week as well. Or you can join us in our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. That is where you can find us throughout the week. All right. Let's go ahead and start talking about things. And, you know, yes, there was a new console launched, but also because this is the week that used to be the big video game trade show, E3, this is when everybody still sends out all of their information and all of their new announcements, trying to one-up each other, and Nintendo decided to just launch a whole console at the same time. Well, we also have another console that we can be really excited for, and it's another handheld console because, you know, everybody loves the Nintendo Switch, and everybody loves their Steam Deck, so why can't Xbox have its own handheld? And today, we got news of the new handheld for Xbox. It is the ROG Xbox Ally. I haven't actually heard them talk about it, so I think that's what it is. But what we have here in Gadget Reports, that while we have had rumors about Microsoft working with Asus's ROG, which is Republic of Gamers, by the way, on a gaming handheld device, we got confirmation during the Xbox Game Showcase at Summer Game Fest. So there is the Ally and the Ally X. So there's no pricing, but it's coming out this holiday season. So pricing, all that stuff is going to come later. Every game included in the showcase will be playable on the Ally. It didn't make it clear whether all those would run natively on the devices. It was basically, this was trolling all the Silksong people. It was trolling all of the Hollow Knight Silksong people that really wanted it. That's what they put in this trailer. And Breakman says, it's the first time hearing of this. It's because it was announced like a couple hours ago. I had to be gone most of the day. So all I've seen is this reveal video. They are not locking the devices to only playing Xbox games. So you will be able to play games from Battle.net and other leading PC storefronts. But there's also Game Pass integration. There's also the cloud, Xbox Cloud, Xbox Play Anywhere, and all that stuff. It's running Windows 11, and it's going to be, interface is optimized for handhelds, but you can still get to all of the things that are in Windows 11. And Tiger Law says, I would assume it has an HDMI plug out to go out to a monitor. I don't think we've actually, well, there's a deep dive out there for this. I have not watched it because I've been gone all day. I apologize. I did not get to watch the Xbox showcase today that happened. There's easy access to device and input controls. The lock screen and task switcher have been adjusted for easy navigation with the controller, they say. They're the Xbox Ally, so there's two variants. There's the Xbox Ally and the Xbox Ally X. The Xbox Ally has 16 gigs of RAM and 512 gigabytes of storage. The Ally X has a more powerful Ryzen processor, 24 gigs of RAM and 1 terabyte of storage. They both have a micro SD card reader. And they have a 7-inch 1080p 16x9 display with 120 hertz refresh rate and 500 nits of brightness and anti-reflection displays as well. Both systems will have HD haptics, which is something the Xbox doesn't have. It will have Hall effect analog triggers, while the Ally X has impulse triggers for enhanced control. That's like the PlayStation 5 DualShock. So that's what that really sounds like. They do have two assignable back buttons and a 6-axis IMU, a fancy way of saying that they'll probably have gyro controls. So they're trying to take some of the you know, elite hardware from that. But they both have a 3.5-millimeter audio jack and Wi-Fi 6E and Bluetooth 5.4. So it's got all the ports that you would want, I assume it would have output HDMI. I don't know why it wouldn't. But we also don't know that. Tiger Claw says having this device would be good for those who play games on the console, then getting access to those saves online, continuing the game on the Xbox handheld. And yes, theoretically, honestly, you can do that with a Steam Deck. It's pretty convoluted because you have to dual boot into Windows, which you can do on a Steam Deck, and then you get access to the Xbox Play Anywhere and the saves and all that stuff. That is something that can be done on the Steam Deck, but it takes a little bit of technical know-how, which there are people in this chat room absolutely that have that technical know-how. Not everybody does. ZenMonkey11 asks, can you play your games 100% offline as long as you want? That's kind of the question here, because it really depends on if the game is available to be played natively or if you're streaming it. Because I think what they're trying to do is a lot of these games you're going to stream from the cloud using the xCloud software. So you would have to have an internet connection to be able to stream that game. It does not run natively on the device. However, it will also run games natively on the device. So it really depends. And then it's just Windows games. It's games that are in the Windows store. However, they did say Battle.net and other PC storefronts, so you might be able to play your Steam games on this device. It is an Xbox device, but it's still an Asus Republic of Gamers device. So I don't have the answer to that question. I would assume that if the game can be played offline on Windows, then it can be played offline on this, if it works. If it is a game that requires to be on the cloud, then obviously you're going to need an online connection for that. So it really depends. I think that people have understood, or some of the hardware developers and some of the software developers have understood, that a handheld device does not always stay home. That's the point of it being handheld. So it might not have an active internet connection at all times. And so I think people that are working on handheld devices, they understand that. However, if it's a game company that's like, I'm making a console game that's always online and it can be played on the Ally X, they're not going to change it to be allowed to be played offline just so you can play it in the handheld when you're away from internet. So, so that was the big news today. I think there's more Indiana Jones DLC, Outer Worlds, not Wilds, Outer Worlds 2 got a deep dive today, and there was some other stuff, I believe. And unfortunately, I did not watch the Xbox presentation today, so I just tried to pick up the highlight, and that's what I picked out there. And Tiger Claw says, hopefully we'll let you do multiplayer with other Xbox Ally that are nearby over Wi-Fi, two allies connected together. Here's the thing, before I move on. Remember, this is just Windows 11. This is just a Windows 11 computer, and it's running Windows 11 code in a handheld device. That's what this is. So there's not any special thing that game developers are going to have access to with just the Ally. Things are going to be optimized to run on it, but theoretically a developer would just be like, this game's for Windows 11, and we've checked it, and it runs on our Ally X, just like how the Steam Deck doesn't have any special things to allow you to do local wireless multiplayer with another Steam Deck, because that's not something Steam does. It's not like the Switch, where everything was developed for the ground up, and you can do that. This is just, it's a Windows device, and we're using the power of Windows and all the stuff that comes with it, and it does what Windows does, and it doesn't do what Windows doesn't do. And it's just, they happen to have the drivers specifically made, so everything runs fine on this, even though it's made for Windows. So, all right. Breakman says, over under on the $300 price. It's going to be over. It's going to be way over. Tireclaw says, the current Ally, which is not this, is $900. Now, I haven't verified that myself. But that is what they are saying in chat. So it may or may not be correct. Let's talk about Summer Game Fest, though. Summer Game Fest was the kickoff was kind of weird a little bit. Like, thinking more on it, we did a live reaction of the newest entry of the Keelyverse. Rob and I did on Friday, and it was kind of interesting, some of the things that they were harping on. And it was also misleading what they were harping on. And we both noticed, like, why are they mentioning this over and over again? And then the actual dev teams involved are like, you know, that's not true, right? And it was about celebrating indie games. And you could kind of see, like, Jeff was spending at the beginning of it saying, this is how great indie games are, and this is how great, you know, the gaming industry is and stuff. And it was basically saying, you're not going to see GTA 6. You're not going to see Half-Life 3. You're not going to see that many AAA, you know, WoW titles. We're going to show you all these other stuff that are made by smaller teams. And he would always mention how many people were on the dev team. He did that multiple times. This was made by a team of 30 people. And this was made by a team of 46 people. You know, Clair Obscur Expedition 33 came out, and it was made by a team of 30 people. And it turns out, it was way more than 30 people that worked on it. It's just, there's only 30 people employed directly by the studio that does it. So PC Gamer reports that while opening last night's Summer Game Fest showcase, host and Game Awards founder Jeff Keighley noted how 2025 had been marked by the surprise success of smaller game projects alongside indie creations that stand side by side with heavyweights. Shouted out Clair Obscur Expedition 33 from Sandfall Interactive, which he called a monumental achievement made by a team of under 30 developers. Given Clair Obscur's critical reception of its millions of sales, it's compelling to think that fewer than three dozen people could produce such a success. That under 30 developers figure is circulated in conversation and coverage. It's a claim that was quoted by PC Gamer and the game's creative director in their own pre-release reporting. It's also factually incorrect. So if you seek out Clair Obscur's credits, you'll find that to its credit, Sandfall's core development team does indeed have about 30 people, a small studio. But that composes then less than half of the game's credit runtime, which is devoted to production partners, the kinds of external contractors and contributors that the game industry has always relied on since about the late 80s, early 90s. So there's Clair Obscur's credits include dozens of contributors, a team of Korean gameplay animators, QA staff from Polish perm QLOC, porting support from Ebb Software, performance compatibility analysts from Huiz QA UX, audio producers and vocal performers from Side UK and Studio Anatel, localization staff from Riot Lock, voice actors, performance capture artists and specialists, musicians, choir singers, retail distributors, interns, playtesters, mock reviewers, and more, all of whom are responsible in part for the quality, character, and global success. Acknowledging these contributions detracts nothing from Clair Obscur's achievement. But by an overwhelming majority of accounts, a really great video game. And I agree with that. And the core team should be celebrated for that, but misrepresenting the scale of its production internally or intentionally or otherwise draws an implicit distinction between what does and doesn't qualify as real game development. So essentially, they didn't do their own QA work. They outsourced that QA. And how many bugs have you found in Clair Obscur? You probably haven't found that many. But that was not done internally. Though none of those 30 people were responsible for QA of the title. There was a lot of, you know, other graphic stuff that was going on. So hundreds of people worked on Clair Obscur Expedition 33. They just don't all work for Sandfall Interactive. Game developers on Blue Sky reacted with frustration and discomfort to the preoccupation with mythologically small dev teams. So game director and Bithell Games founder Mike Bithell, or Bithell, I guess, says, quote, "It's incredibly noticeable how often an army of outsourcers outside America and Western Europe is left out of these team sizes. That's the part I find uncomfortable," unquote. Because a lot of these people, like, it's an American company, but then they, you know, outsource to Korea or Vietnam or the Philippines or India for a lot of stuff here. Balatro creator Local Thunk noted how he, too, is often credited as the one guy who made Balatro, which he says contributes to a David versus Goliath narrative. But he says that's been oversimplified. TVGS, this developer Schedule 1, was also shouted out as a solo developer by Keeley. Schedule 1's in-game credits show that art and music were provided by two other contributors. Local Thunk says, quote, "No, it's not one guy. Just look at the dang in-game credits." Unquote. So games licensing producer and consultant Mike Futter, referencing a moment when Keeley described an upcoming brawler, Axe of Blood, as made by a solo developer in Bandung, Indonesia, with the help of 9 of his friends. He says, quote, "I was really uncomfortable with this as well, and just because the math doesn't math. One dev plus 9 friends working with him is 10 people, not one. It was made by one guy and 9 of his friends." No, that's 10 people. As Jaron Amat says, "Just remember, someone is always going to check the receipts, especially these days." Yeah, so that was a little bit weird, a little bit misleading, but then it was just like generic this to me, generic this. There were some things that I was very excited about, but not too many, because it was like, oh, here's another Souls-like, here's another Souls-like, here's another horror game, here's another horror game, here's something cute, and then like, oh, this looks cool, oh, it's a 5v5 PvP thing. And then there was the one guy that very much signaled that he was not woke with both his clothing choice and his words. He very intentionally said his words for his title. And it was basically kind of a call out to a certain segment of the population who believed that games should only be made by white people, white men. And he was going to bring that back and then showed this generic 5v5 shooter. That was calculated, and even though it made the rounds on social media, I think it looked like such a generic game, most people weren't going to check it out. And now that crowd is absolutely going to love this game, and it's going to be great. So it was a really actually kind of good marketing move for him. I'm oversimplifying it and not really talking about it too much and kind of giving details, not even saying the game name. But if you know what I'm talking about, it's actually probably good that he did that. For him and his company, because the rest of us weren't going to play it anyway. And that this ensures that there is a small group of gamers that are going to absolutely live and die by his game, because he went on the stage and wore that hat and said those words and said all the things that that small group have been saying over and over again. And And I think that's the marketing play, because that was the only way his game was going to get noticed by any group. And he's willing to take the loss of other people that might have checked it out that maybe got turned off by the hat or his words. And he will take the guaranteed playing from the crowd that is, Elon will buy it. Elon Musk, it'll be Elon's new favorite game. What was announced at Summer Game Fest, and I do want to, and I will mention this here, the game that I thought looked kind of the most interesting to me was this one, and it's about puppets. And the interesting thing about it, what they said, is that this entire, it's called Felt This Boxing, F-E-L-T. It's a boxing game. And apparently, all of this is rendered in the Unreal Engine. It is all real-time render. And you look at it, and it looks like it was shot. It was actual people with puppets. And the thing about puppets is there's not that much that moves on a puppet. So it's a little bit easier to render it and make it look real-time. And it looks amazing, and then it looks like an FMV game. It's kind of interesting because it's a boxing game, but it looks like one of those old Laserdisc games that actually had full motion video. And this, but it's all rendered in engine, and it's not Sesame Street. They do curse. You can't hear it right now, but they do curse. And Avenue Q, the boxing game. And this one was like the one that was like, okay, I hadn't seen something like this before in this manner in real time. Obviously there, I think there's actually been a boxing game that was a full motion video and you like it was a Laserdisc game. I'm kind of curious to actually play this and see this because I fully believe that this is rendered in real time on Unreal Engine because it's a lot easier to render puppets that don't have as many different movements and then just worry about like the felt moving. But you're not having to convey as much emotion as you would in like a human face. So it reminds E3VL of Punch-Out, yeah. And yeah, so that was kind of like the one thing that I kind of remember if you asked me, like, and yes, there's a Deadpool VR. It's got Neil Patrick Harris as the voice of Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds even made a video of him reacting to the fact that he's not Deadpool in VR. But once again, it's a MetaQuest exclusive. And I have PC VR. I don't have a MetaQuest. So dang it, Meta. Taking up all the VR stuff. Earlier in the week, though, there was the State of Play, the PlayStation State of Play, which I did see. And we are getting a new Final Fantasy Tactics, or we're getting the remake of Final Fantasy Tactics, which is going to be great. But also, there was an announcement from our friends at Digital Eclipse, which, yes, I will consider them our friends, even though we haven't really met them. They're not, but they're friends. We talk on Blue Sky. We talk. So what Digital Eclipse is going to be putting out is Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection. And they've done these, like, I love the Gold Master series where they go into the history of things. And we noticed in the first Gold Master series of Karateka, which it doesn't matter how you pronounce it, they had a lot of Mortal Kombat people in the video. And we're like, that's going to be the next Gold Master collection. Well, they finally announced the Legacy Collection, but it is not a Gold Master series. But what it has a bunch of Mortal Kombat games. I'm not going to say all, because they've literally said, you know, they don't have everything in here, and some people have believed it's going to have everything. It is the most complete collection ever, but they haven't announced everything that they're going to have in it yet. And so there's going to be some things you're not going to find yet. And they're going to have rollback netcode. So you can play all of these games online. And they do have a lot of the documentary stuff that they're known for with the Gold Master series, which is that's the part that Digital Eclipse have been knocking out of the park. However, this is not a Gold Master series. And I actually asked on Blue Sky, I asked Mike Mika, who is the head of Digital Eclipse. And I was like, hey, so what's the difference? Because somebody else had asked, and he was like, no, this is not Gold Master series. And so what Mike told me is, quote, basically it's a thin line, but Gold Master series tends to be more intimate narratives, while our celebration titles are larger and game first, but still has deep dives and things that you expect from Gold Master series. We do go deep into the nether realm on this one. So basically what Mike told me, and everybody else on Blue Sky, because it was a public conversation, but he was talking to me, is that this is... When it's not a Gold Master series, the games are more important. When it is a Gold Master series, the narrative and the history is more important. That's why Tetris Forever is a Gold Master series, because it doesn't have every single version of Tetris that's ever come out. There's a lot of Tetris games that aren't in it. But something like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Cowabunga Collection, which is not a Gold Master series, is more about the games, and it has some key art and stuff, but it doesn't really have the museum or anything like that. It doesn't have the documentary that goes with it. It's more like Atari 50, where Atari 50 is about the games, but it also did that really good timeline. And Fifth Dream says, did Bobby just say I can pronounce it Karateka? Yes, that is an improvement. Like, if you watch the making of Karateka, or Karateka, however you want to say it, they actually have a, like, 1-minute video with Jordan Mechner saying you can pronounce it however you want. I have pronounced it every single way. I am excited about Gold Master Series. Apparently, they did notice that Rob Roberts of OLR predicted that Mortal Kombat was going to be the next Gold Master Series. So they were like, yeah, we saw that. We saw you saying that. So hi, friends at Digital Eclipse. So, yeah, so that was some of the stuff that was announced earlier. But I know that the big thing that happened this week is a new console came out. And so there was not like, now there's no more rumors. We have eliminated rumors. There's going to be never another rumor again about Nintendo. It's not going to be happening. So, the new system that I use to play Picross is finally here. And if you're thinking I'm joking, I am not. Because I did a thing up on TikTok. I got it unboxed. I got it set up in my 4K theater in the TARDIS that I have here. And the first thing I did was I'm going to play some Picross. So I put some Picross on the big screen on the Switch 2. It was fantastic. And it's both plentiful and hard to find. It really depends on who you ask. Because if you ask some people, everybody was able to get one pretty easily. If you ask other people, they're not able. Nobody, you can't find it. Nobody's going to find it. It really depends on who you ask. Kotaku reports that even as the new system starts selling out at most retailers, the company says it believes it will be able to meet demand through the rest of 2025, avoiding the scarcity issues that plagued the PlayStation 5 for years. While the June 5th launch of Nintendo's new hardware has gone relatively smoothly, with fans who lined up early for pre-orders and day of inventory were able to secure their Switch 2, latecomers are already finding it harder to get. While new inventory comes and goes on a rolling basis, places like Best Buy, Walmart, Target, and GameStop are already showing the Switch 2 is out of stock more often than not. Still, Nintendo of America President Doug Bowser sought to reassure people that even if the Switch 2 becomes hard to find, it won't be impossible to get. They say, quote, "We have a steady supply of manufacturing that'll be coming in, and we believe we'll be able to meet the demand all the way through the summer, through Father's Day, and then into the holiday period," unquote. And he did say that stores often stagger their inventory availability instead of unleashing it all at once. There are some places reporting that Nintendo has already sold 3 million units in the first 24 hours, which would, if it is true, would be a record. PlayStation 4 holds the record, the official record, at 1 million units in 24 hours. If the 3 million record is correct, then that would be a new record. But that is, a YouTuber said it from three different independent sources, and so everybody's running with it. So I don't know if that's true. What I will say is that when I went to go pick it up, I went to my local Best Buy. Actually, the exact same Best Buy I went to 20 years ago for the Xbox 360 launch, stood on the same damn sidewalk for that. And it was interesting how much they had, because there were probably about 100, 120 of us maybe in the pre-order line. But they had 300 consoles for people to walk in and get. So the other line was for people who didn't pre-order, and there were 300 people in that line, and they were absolutely able to get it at the midnight launch. I got out of there at 1 a.m., so I had gotten there at like 11:50, so I was pretty far back in the line. But I got out of there at 1 a.m., and there were still people. They had like two more hours of stuff. Now, accessories, those were hard to find. Those were kind of sold out. Those, and also those jumped in price. But the Switch 2s itself, you could still walk in, even here where I am in a very, you know, affluent suburb of Atlanta. You were able to still find them in Targets and stuff the next day. Like, just walk into the store and it's there. So now I think they're all sold out. But if you really did want one and wanted to walk into a store and buy one the day of, chances are you would have been able to. Now, not now, but even scalpers were having a hard time selling it, because you could walk into a store in many places and buy one. You didn't need to pay the inflated prices that the scalpers wanted. E3 Veil says, wait for the Nintendo official accolades trailer for numbers. Yeah, so we'll get a number soon. I finally got my email to order it directly from Nintendo during Summer Game Fest. So it was like the day after on Friday. They're like, you can order your Nintendo Switch 2 now. And so I didn't. I'm not going to be that person. So it was. It felt like a pretty smooth launch. I got home. I didn't have any server problems. I will say that there is. So if you do, whenever you do get one, and let's say you have a Switch 1, which, by the way, I have my, this is a launch day Switch 1. Is what I have, and then this is the launch day Switch 2. Just in case you were wondering the sizes, and remember, I don't have a Switch OLED or anything, but the Switch 2 is, the screen is much, much bigger, and it is much, much more impressive than the Switch 1, and especially the launch day Switch 1 that's not the OLED. And E3ville says it's one Joy-Con size is larger. I wanted to mention some things about it before I talk about like more of the system. And I wanted to say that if you do the transfer process, so if you have a Switch 1 and you're going to put it on a Switch 2, you need to do that at setup, because you do have to factory reset your Switch 2 in order to transfer to it. Now, what the system transfer does is it puts your Nintendo account on the new system. It transfers all of your photos and videos to the new system, all your captures, and it transfers your saved games to the new system. And it transfers the information about what games you've played or what games you have on the system and when you last opened them. And that's all it does. Notice there's something missing, and I am mentioning it here just in case you have an internet data cap. Let's say you have a Switch, and in this Switch you have a micro an SD card that has a whole bunch of games on it. Well, when you then, after you're done with your transfer, your Nintendo Switch 2 goes and says, okay, now I'm going to go to my servers, and starting from your most recently played title going backwards, I'm going to now download from the internet every game you had on your Switch. So if you had 400 gigs worth of titles on your Switch, it only transferred the fact that you had that on your Switch and when you last played it, and it starts from the most recent and goes backwards, and it downloads all 400 gigs off of the internet. So that's something to know if you have a data cap, that it's going to just go automatically go to their servers and re-download every title you have on your Switch. It does not transfer them locally, which I thought it would do. I'm like, oh, it's already got the actual data, just transfer it over. No, it basically transfers everything over that way. It downloads it. So, thankfully, I no longer have a data cap because I pay extra to not get a data cap. But it was it basically spent, you know, a couple hours, you know, a little bit of time downloading from their servers. And Tiger Claw says one of the more annoying things about the regular Switch was when you downloaded the game in the built-in memory, it won't let you move the game to the SD card. You have to re-download it directly to the SD card. That is not true at all, because I moved things between my internal SD card and main memory all the time, and you did not need to download it. So maybe you were just doing it incorrectly, I guess. But no, I was moving games between memories up until and forever. Maybe it didn't work the one time you did it, but it's worked every other time for me. And same on the Switch, too. It's got the same type of functionality there. I haven't put in an SD card yet because guess what? I'm actually not full on the Switch 2 yet. And Orange Ride said, yeah, I had to go through and stop downloading a bunch of games. So like you can tell it to not download it again. But then, you know, then it basically transfers all the virtual game cards to the Switch 2, and then you do the whole virtual game card swap, and that's when you can put things back on the Switch 1 if you want. So that's the first thing to know about that. So when you are setting up your Switch, you have to do that at system factory reset. You can't just go in, add your account, go ahead and put Mario Kart on it, and then transfer your data. You have to factory reset the Switch 2 and then go through the transfer process. So that's one thing to know. So don't skip that step, because you're going to then have to re-download Mario Kart World if you want to do that. Game Share is kind of interesting. So Game Share, not Game Chat. I haven't used Game Chat yet, but Game Share is the idea of the, you know, you can share a game with someone else and they can play it. And because I have these two systems and I have Clubhouse games, I was like, well, let me game share Clubhouse games to my OG Switch. The Breakman says, don't plan on playing your new game system right out of the box. Kind of like, kind of miss the old days. I got home at 1 o'clock. I played my first game at 1:45 a.m. I got home at 1. And at 1:45 a.m., I recorded that video that I had played earlier that's on TikTok about the Picross, because that literally was the first game I fired up. Then I had to go, then I put in the download code for Mario Kart World, which took a little bit. It's an 11 gig, I believe, 11 gigs. So I did not, wasn't able to play it right out of the box. So I tried doing Clubhouse games over GameShare, and it's interesting what it does. I don't think GameShare actually shares the game code. And I don't know any, I just know what I can tell you. So I did a GameShare of Clubhouse games from my Switch 2 to my Switch 1. And while, yes, the Switch 1 had its own screen, it was super pixelated. Which means I think the Switch 2 was just sharing, it was just streaming the game to the Switch 1. And I even noticed the Switch 2, it actually like kind of shrunk the game down. It wasn't the full 1080p. And on the Switch 1, which I had hooked up to my TV, it was pretty grainy and pixelated. So I believe GameShare is just streaming the game. The Switch 2 is actually powering the game and is just getting the inputs and stuff from the Switch 1. Now, there is a download that has to happen, so I think there might be something that's run locally, but it really felt like it was streaming the game at a low bit rate to my Switch via the local wireless here in the same room. So that was interesting. I want to kind of go into more into that and try to figure, you know, see what it's doing or find out more what's doing. But that was kind of one of the more interesting things for me. E3Ville says, how's the input delay? I don't know, because I was playing Clubhouse games. And if you don't know what Clubhouse games, it's a bunch of card games and, you know, simple board games. Not really. There is some Twitch stuff, Twitchy type stuff in there. I did not try those. You couldn't play anything that used the motion sensor. So you couldn't play bowling. You couldn't play anything like that. You had to use, it could only be buttons. I don't know if that's the case for everything, but that's just how it felt. And I know not many people have a Switch 2 and a Switch and can do that test, which is why I was like, I'm going to try that and see what it does. So the other thing I wanted to mention that was kind of that they've kind of simplified a little bit. It's not as simple as it used to be, but it never will be as simple as it used to be. But if, I don't know if you remember that this site called Twitter was so popular that game companies actually added a Twitter button to their consoles. All of them did. And then Twitter decided that they were no longer going to be Twitter. They were going to be X, and they were going to make it prohibitively expensive for that button to be used the way it was intended to be used back in 2016. So what they have done for the Switch 2 is now they have a cloud service for your clip sharing. So if you share clip something, either as an image or a video, you can download it through the Nintendo Online app. Whereas on the Switch 1, you had to scan a QR code, which was a Wi-Fi code. Then you could go to a web page to download, and it was really convoluted the way it worked. But now the Switch 2 has the ability to just upload to the app. And I will say I'm going to actually share a share a clip that I did record, and this is a clip that I actually recorded, and it doesn't look that bad when you download it directly. Now, if you upload it to Blue Sky, it's going to compress the hell out of it. I uploaded this clip to Blue Sky. This was me, a Blue Shell almost killing me at the very end. I was the last race of the last thing. I was in first place. The Blue Shell was coming. I was flying in the air, and it hit right after I crossed the finish line. But it doesn't look that bad coming from here. And the little 30-second clip, it's 1080p. So it does look a little bit better. It's not going to look as great. It's still 30 frames a second, where the actual game's 60 frames a second. And I was playing it in 4K in HDR when I made that clip, and notice it looks pretty fine. Yeah, and so do I have two Switch 2s? No, I am not. I am not a jerk. I do. True asks, do I have two Switch 2s? I am not a jerk. I do not need two Switch 2s. I'm not. I don't want to do that. I think other people should have Switch 2. I have my OG launch day Switch 1 and the OG launch day Switch 2. So I was using my old Switch 1 because I still have it, and I can still use it. Even though I system transferred, it did not factory reset my Switch 1. It just ejected all the games. So because of the new virtual game card thing. So I theoretically can still play my Switch 1 and just like use the virtual game card feature and load it on here. And then I can still play just fine. Bregman says, so I am a jerk just because I want a Switch 2 in each room. Okay, so here's the thing about the Switch, Bregman. You don't need to buy multiple Switch 2s. What you need to buy are multiple docks. I have three Switch docks in this house. My wife has a Switch as well, so we have two Switches. But that way, I could either play my Switch downstairs, or I could play it up, have it here streaming in the office. So you just get multiple docks. And so eventually I do want to get a second Switch 2 dock so I can actually not have to like dismantle my equipment closet just to get my Switch 2 to be streaming. So, but I also don't want to do that to people today because I know there's a lot of people that don't have a Switch 2. Getting another Switch 2 is just fine when they're easily found. And PodCulture says, Switch 2 docks are hella pricey. This is also one of the other things I want to talk about real quick, is the dock, it's a little bit of a closer fit. And I'm going to explain what I mean about that. So this is I'm holding up my Switch 1. I am going to narrate this for the people on the audio podcast. When I am using it in my very exact setup, which is kind of in an equipment closet, I do not have the ability to drop the Switch down from the top, which is the intended way of loading the Switch into the dock, is you take the Switch and you drop it down, or not drop it, but you place it down going vertical. What I always had to do is I had to take my Switch in because there was a low hanging ceiling, and I would start from the left and I would slide it through the dock and then have it go vertically down. And it was not a problem, because it was able to work. The Switch 2 dock, because of the fan that is in it to allow, because it actually has a fan that cools the part of the Switch 2, which has the highest processor, it is a closer fit. So what winds up happening when I try to do that is the buttons on the right Joy-Con and the analog stick catch, and I can't slide it through all that easily. So I have to figure out how I'm going to get the Switch in and out. It's not scratching the screen. It's actually going up against the Joy-Con. So if I take the Joy-Cons out, then it's easier to put in. And then I can, you know, put them in the thing. But if I keep the Joy-Cons in because I want to, like, charge it because it's my only dock and it's how I charge everything, then it's a little trickier to get in. But yeah, so the magnets work really well. If you haven't seen how the magnets work on these, you don't have to slide things in. It snaps in. They work really well. But yeah, so the dock, if you have low verticality in your dock, just be aware that the right Joy-Con is going to make it a little bit of an adventure docking your Switch if you can't just drop it directly down. So, and no, it is not ruining my sticks, Breakman has asked. I'm being very careful. I think I'm learning how to, like, have it angled and stuff so I could get it in. So, yeah, and unfortunately, the docks don't work with each other. So you can't put a Switch 1 in the Switch 2 dock. You can't put a Switch 2 in the Switch 1 dock and all that stuff. And SunMonkey11 says, I always thought magnets were bad for electronics and digital screens. Magnets were bad for CRTs. They're very bad for CRTs, which also included, like, the magnets that are in speakers. Very bad for CRTs. Not so much. And Paco says, lay the dock face down and slide in horizontally. Unfortunately, I don't have the room for that either, where I have it in. So you can't really see it all that well because it is dark. It's lit by a blue. But you can kind of see it's I actually have the Switch 2 next to my Xbox Series X, and there the PlayStation 5 is on the shelf above it. So there is not really room for me to lay it face down, lay it down flat. It's very constrained in there. So Breakman says your amp has a Nintendo setting. So modern day AV receivers allow you to put whatever text you want for various inputs. So yes, it. So I named that input Nintendo. Xbox is the Xbox one, and place PS5 is what it says for the PS5. Tireclaw says, "How is the noise when it's on the dock?" I don't know, because that my in where because of where I have it, the equipment closet is behind me and the door is shut, so I don't actually hear any of the fans going on in there. So I don't hear the PS5 when it's going hog wild. I don't hear the Xbox Series X, and I don't hear this. So I don't know. You would probably have to ask Rob of Orange Lounge Radio, because he actually has the Switch 2 set up at his computer, so he can do all that stuff. The one last thing I wanted to talk about before we move on from this topic and go into talking to OLR is I also got the official carrying case, which no big deal, right? But it was very interesting what's included. Now, the first thing I'm going to show you is the official carrying case for the Switch 1. And the reason I'm showing this is because I'm going to open up the case. And in the case, it came with two red cases to hold Switch games. So you could have 8 Switch games with you in these cases. This case was obviously designed in you know, 2016 and stuff like that. That's what came in the case. The official Nintendo Switch 2 case does not have any place to store physical game cards. It's got the pocket that the other one had, which I put the Joy-Con straps in, but there's no place whatsoever to store physical games. ZenMonkey11 pointed out it also had the micro SD case. Yes, I didn't have that for in there, but it's in a different case. But none of that exists. There is no place to store physical games. Nintendo does not believe you're going to want to carry physical games around with your Switch 2. And Tackle says no place to store the charging cables. That is probably where what most people would use the pocket for at the top here, which I put the Joy-Con straps in there. That's where I keep them. But you could put charging cables in here as well. And this same pouch does exist in the Switch 1 case. And I put the Joy-Con straps in that one too. But it had a different area that you could put games or your SD card or anything like that. And, you know, with the Switch 2 games being a lot larger, that may be a reason to get the physical games. Like, yes, I got the Mario Kart World bundle. So I got Mario Kart World digitally. And it is the largest Switch game I've ever put on my system. And because it is 21.9 gigs. So Mario Kart World is 21.9 gigs. And, you know, I think you only have like 512 gigs on board. And then you get the micro SD card Express. Yeah, that's how big that is. The Legend of Zelda, by the way, if you're wondering, the upgrade pack for the Nintendo Switch 2 edition of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is 9.2 gigs. So even though I have the actual cartridge of Breath of the Wild, the update data is 1.3 gigs, and the upgrade pack for Nintendo Switch 2 is 9.2 gigs. True asked, did you get the camera, or have you seen other players with it yet? I did not get the camera. I am actually going to try one of my other existing cameras, but also the problem is where I play my Switch is not very conducive to the type of camera gaming that Nintendo expects you to have, because I do play in a dark home theater in my basement, and the camera wouldn't do well. It's very dark in there. It's very it wouldn't, like, the microphone's too far away, but I sit in, like, this home theater to play my Picross. Actually, I play Picross in bed. I play other things in the theater. So I didn't get the camera because I don't need it yet, because it's not something that I would be able to use yet. But I have other USB cameras that I believe should still work. Then I would be able to try it, because I probably will at some point get Mario Party Jamboree, because I never got it yet. And maybe, you know, hook up one of my cameras to it and see if it would actually work with them. E3Vale says, so, still don't get why they didn't include a camera in the system like the Wii U if I want people to use pay chat feature. Because it was already $450 and everybody was already upset about the price. That's why. They didn't want to keep raising the price for everything. Everybody's like, you should have included it. It costs money. And somebody has to pay it. And would you have been okay with Nintendo being like, okay, the console's $550, but you get Welcome Tour and you get the camera and you can't opt out of it. This at least gives people a choice. Do you want their camera? Then you can buy it. But they did say a whole bunch of USB cameras work just fine. I've got a Logitech C922 sitting here that I used to use. I've replaced it now, but it used to be what I did this show with. I've got it sitting over here, and I'm going to plug it in, and I think it'll work just fine. Unfortunately, they still wanted to make a profit off the console, and if you put in too many things, then you're taking a loss, and the Nintendo doesn't want to take a loss on the console. And Tiger Hall says, if only the camera had night vision mode. I mean, you could probably hook up a different camera that does have night vision mode, or I just won't use it in that setting, and I would move somewhere else. I don't know. Because the dock is movable, or I get a second dock, and I can put it on my main TV in the living room like everybody else. Yeah, and Astro Matt says, I thought everyone was outraged by the price. It was still hard to get one. It's kind of, and like I said earlier on, what was interesting is that it was both too much stock and not selling fast enough and sold out, and they couldn't keep up with demand. Like, which one is it? Because it's like, if they couldn't, you're like, oh, they couldn't anticipate demand. Why didn't they put more on store shelves? Now they're like, oh, they put so many on store shelves, it's still available. It didn't sell out at midnight. Nobody cares. And, like, both things can't be true. And a lot of people were like, nobody cares about the Nintendo Switch 2. It's got bad graphics. It doesn't hold a candle to the Steam Deck, or now the ROG Ally, Xbox Ally X. It doesn't hold a candle to any of that. So nobody's going to care. And it turns out a whole lot of people cared. It just wasn't the people that were very technology first and very graphics first. But it sold amazingly well. There was a lot of people at the Best Buy that I was at north of Atlanta. There were over 100 of us in the pre-order line, and there were 300 people in the other line at midnight to pick it up. So the idea that nobody cares about it and that everybody was outraged by the price doesn't really hold water, because guess what? People vote with their wallets, and people voted that $450 or $500 was just fine. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Sound Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them to see what's going on with them and their Switch 2 journey. Sacramento, are you there?
Hi, Bobby. Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I wish I could play some more Switch 2, but, you know, I've had a busy week. They gave me a busy weekend right after it came out, but, you know.
You can play Mario Kart right after the show.
I could. I could. Sometime we are going to get, like, you know, we're probably going to wait a little bit longer to allow more people to get their Switches. There's some people that theirs is in transit and stuff, but we really should have like a Mario Kart night here with Vogue and play it online.
Yeah, I would say before Southern Fried we'll fit yes. something in. We'll you know, fit we want to give people time to unlock stuff too.
Yes,
you know,
yes. I did. I rolled credits on Mario Kart World, so I was able to at least
get
all
way
that.
Further yeah. than me.
Yeah. So I rolled credits, and now I'm going through Knockout Tour only on 50cc. So let's not get too crazy here. You know, I only unlocked everything on 50cc, but that still unlocked all the tracks and slowly unlocking the characters and stuff. Turns out when they said 77 characters, and somebody was like, "How many of them are palette swaps?" I'm like, I think E3VL asked me, "How many of them are palette swaps?" And it turns out I was wrong, because I was like, "Oh, none of them are palette swaps." No, they're totally palette swaps. Because it's you find other outfits for the character, and that goes into the costumes, 77. Yeah. So E3VL, are you here? I was wrong. You asked a question, and I very confidently said, "Oh no, they're going to spend all that time making every single character," and I was wrong. Okay, E3VL is here. He said, "Yeah, yes." So I hope you heard me admit that I was going off of bad information on that. So not all 77 characters are unique. It's so anyway. But you have to like play some of the tracks, and then they unlock a character that has those other palette swaps. So right. You do have to go through all the tracks to get to all the costumes. And yeah, and you can go through Free Roam and you can get all the costumes for everybody. So,
which I was trying to do a Free Roam, and trying to do some of those P blocks is like impossible. Yeah. So that's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah. There's some of the one, I found one P block that actually was easy, but it was like the fifth one I tried. And I'm like, oh, that one doesn't require any weird jumps and, you know, stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to playing it online and losing online. Let's be clear. But you've been playing a lot of Pokemon.
I have. Yeah, I've been streaming Pokemon. I'll probably stream more tonight, honestly, after the show's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, the upgrades on Pokemon Scarlet Violet are incredible. Like it's part, you know, like a whole new game and part the game it really always should have been. You know, we all knew about how, you know, the tech issues were really holding Scarlet Violet back. In many ways. And I'm not going to say the Switch 2 version fixes all of them. There's still a few things that are a little bit wonky, you know, like Pokeballs that float in the air and things like that. But boy, oh boy, like just from a, you know, immersion perspective of what they were trying to go for in the open world, the Switch 2 version really helps them go quite a long way. It's really funny now because the pre-rendered video cutscenes look worse than the game does, which was not the case on the original Switch. But, you know, those original videos are now trying to play in 4K. You can see the difference. It's very interesting how that all worked. Yeah. But yeah, Pokemon is absolutely worth revisiting. Gen 10 Pokemon is absolutely worth revisiting. I haven't tried Legends yet. I haven't heard that it is the recipient of any type of stealth upgrades. So I'm just guessing they're not going to upgrade it, or maybe it's coming when the Pokemon Presents thing happens. But we have Legends ZA to look forward to anyway. So, but Pokemon Gen 10 is absolutely worth revisiting.
And you were able to see the shiny on the Switch 2 version. Not able to see the shiny in the Switch 1 version.
I caught a shiny like 15 minutes into the game, into my stream, really, on Thursday. And it doesn't really happen to me very often. I had some Shane luck there in that. So, and it was a decent shiny to get, too. So very happy about that.
Yeah, I did play a little bit of the Breath of the Wild. I wasn't really a fan of the Breath of the Wild. Like, I it's a great game. I'm glad that there are a ton of people love it. I never got Tears of the Kingdom because, honestly, it's the weapon durability thing. That's what turns me off of it. But I did go in, and you can actually create a second save file now in Breath of the Wild. So I started a new save file, so I didn't have to try to remember where I was in 2019, the last time I played it. And it's really nice. It looks really nice.
Yeah, I'm excited to check that out. I downloaded the graphic upgrades, but I haven't played it yet. Alan's actually borrowing it because we were, thank you, Bobby, that household that got two Switch 2s. Yeah. Thank you very much for your comment.
But you're
earlier.
Two different people.
We're two different people. You're right.
I am a single person.
Mrs. Black Wolf didn't want one.
She does not. She said she didn't need it one right now.
She can also have your Switch 1 for Picross or anything she wants to play. Hello Kitty, Island Adventure.
Well, she has her own Switch.
Alia and that type.
No, she plays Disney Dreamlight Valley.
That's, I knew it was one of those crafting games.
Yes.
Okay.
She plays Disney Dreamlight Valley, and she also does have one of my Picross games. We did the virtual game card swap. So she now has one of, she has Murder by Numbers, which is great. And sadly, that studio got closed down by Epic. It was Mediatonic that did it. Their next game was Fall Guys. And so, so she's got that. But she's actually afraid, because now we've got her on this Switch. She could virtual game card Disney Dreamlight Valley to my Switch too, but she's afraid to do it because she doesn't want to see that it's actually vastly improved. Because then she'd want to switch too. Because she's like, I don't need this right now. I don't need to spend that $450. I don't need it. And but she's worried because Disney Dreamlight Valley does not run well on the Switch. Because especially the longer you play it, because she's been playing it for a long time. So she's got a lot of things unlocked and stuff. Yeah. And it doesn't run that well on the Switch. And she's afraid it's going to run great on the Switch too, which is going to make her want to get it.
She's probably right.
But we're not doing that yet. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But we got to, Alan is really excited to play Zelda on it because he hadn't played it before. So he's like, you know what? It's Skyrim, but Zelda. I want to play it. So yeah, that's something he's going to be working on as well as he's been playing Mario Kart as well. So
Yeah,
really done any two player or anything yet. You would think with two Switch 2s, we've been, you know, messing around and like, you know, trying all the different features. We haven't really done that yet, you know, just because we're playing different games right now, but we'll play. Yeah. He said whenever we do our Mario Kart stream, he'll join in. So,
okay. I did find it interesting that they changed how you put the cartridges in on the Switch 2. So the door is different. So for people, I don't know if it was like this on the OLED because I never had an OLED.
And the memory card thing is hidden too.
Yeah. So on the Switch, on the original OG Switch, it was kind of like a door that you opened, and that's what you slid the cartridge into. I don't know if the OLED was the same way or not. On the Switch 2, it's in the same place, but it is something you lift up. It is no longer a door. You lift it up, and I'm going to try to do this right on the camera, and it is a little flimsy, but you lift it up, and then you can put the Switch, the Switch card in there. Is this also where you put in the SD card? Is it in the same thing as this? I don't know.
No, it's the SD card is hidden. It's in the, you know, your kickstand.
Okay.
Lift up the kickstand and look underneath, and there's a little tiny slot for the card under the kickstand. Yeah, it's, you wouldn't know where to look.
Yep.
So that's where that goes when you get that, which we were able to get 512 expansions at Walmart. So, yeah.
OLED is same as the original. So, yeah. So instead of a door you open, now there's something you flip up. You kind of pull up on the Switch, too. So, but Nintendo doesn't think we're going to be using that many physical games anyway because they don't give you a way to carry them in the official Switch 2 case. So, whatever.
And to be fair, they're probably right.
They're, but I don't want to have to buy an SD card because all these games are so big now.
I will say, though, for like Alan and I, you know, and us operating on one family plan and all that, the virtual game card thing actually works really well for the online things. But I don't love that I can't sell back my games. I know everybody has this huge problem with the game card only stuff. I want to remind people you can actually sell that back to a game store or you can sell that to somebody and they will take it, unlike a digital game.
Yeah.
So I don't think that situation is as bad as people make it out to be. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bandwidth cap situation. I could see where that gets annoying. But
I don't think
it's as bad as the internet's making it out to be. What a shock.
I still like the idea of not filling my memory with it, because that's the other thing. It's like I don't have an SD card yet. I don't need it, but I only have 80 gigs left.
Yeah, and no, totally get that. But we're also in that world where like the entire game gets patched and it's all sitting in your thing anyway, which that's the real problem.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
We're going to be breaking down the Sony State of Play. We got the Xbox. We got Summer Game Fest. We got our Switch 2s. It's been a busy week.
I know.
We got a lot to break down. And then we got to get this all in because we're not going to be here in 2 weeks because I'm going to be there.
Yep.
But I'm really excited to head out to Southern Game Fried Expo is what else called it. Southern Game Fried Expo. Southern Fried Gaming Expo. Going to be out there in 2 weeks. Really excited for our panel. And yes, I will be talking about the Guardian Legend on stage.
Yes, absolutely. Because that's why we have the panel. And then it's how do we frame around it, but it's really going to be the Guardian Legend panel.
There's other games too, Bobby.
There are. Breakman says, tasty sounding expo. So one of the funny stories is when it used to be called the Southern Fried Game Room Expo because it was arcade and pinball. Except in the hotel, it was truncated to Southern Fried Game. They didn't have the room expo. And a group of people showed up in their camouflage and their hunting caps thinking it was a hunting expo. Because it was game.
Oh, how funny. That's really funny. I'm sorry, it's funny.
Oh, I laughed about it, but yeah, so that's there's some lore from the early days, and that's why they're like, we're going to change it to gaming, so now it'd be GAMI, but and they don't think that.
I'm not sure I've actually seen anything Southern Fried at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo.
That's true.
Maybe I missed it. I don't know. Maybe it's in the wrestling thing.
Well, I think Chick-fil-A has a stand.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean,
we are in Atlanta. I missed that.
So, yeah, I know they're everywhere in Atlanta. Yeah. So,
yeah. Them and Coke are everywhere in Atlanta. Except in that hotel. That hotel is a Pepsi hotel, and that sucks. But the Galleria next door is a Coke place, so that you just have to go across.
But check
there.
Out, there's pedestrian issues that weekend. Check the app. Yeah. The Southern Fried app is out, by the way. Yes. Y'all should download it.
Yes, and the pedestrian, that's more to go to the Cumberland Mall area, which is across one of the other streets. So there's some people in the overflow hotels, they take that pedestrian bridge over. The pedestrian bridge from the Cobb Galleria to the Battery, where the Atlanta Braves play, that one's open.
Oh, good. Then so there won't be a problem.
There's two pedestrian bridges. They're working on one of them. And then they're tearing down the Cobb Galleria in August. So not the conference center, but basically because it's a dead mall. It's been a dead mall.
Yeah, I remember that. The dead mall. There was like a restaurant in there. Is that even still there?
Well, so Subway's gone.
There's a place we ate at.
Murph's is still there until August. Okay. So Murph's is actually, it's owned by Atlanta Braves legend Dale Murphy, who should be in the Hall of Fame. Sorry, Sports Ball Talk. Pod Culture's like, I went so long without Sports Ball Talk. He owns it, but they are closing in August and they don't have a new location because they're going to basically tear down that whole area and rebuild it into something else.
Oh, wow.
But the conference rooms are staying. So the convention center is still staying. It's just the mall portion of the Galleria. So this will be the end of that.
I'll be curious to see what Lucky Expo gets the hall on the end that Southern Fried doesn't use, because it was like a preschool teacher's expo or something the year I was there. And I was like, oh, this is really funny.
Yeah. All right. S. Sharon and Matt understood what I said. Great. Awesome. At least one person did. All right. So that's what's coming up on Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby. See you in a couple weeks.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Not in 2 weeks, but next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly. Or you can find me on Blue Sky, BobbyBlackWolf.com, or at Bobby Blackwolf on TikTok, because it's still around. And I did post a video there. It's actually that video of me making the Picross joke is my most popular video ever. Like, it has the most views. It has like 5,000 views. That's a lot for me. I'm going to be famous. You can also join us in our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this work without the chatters who go above and beyond. Thank you so much for being here. You being here is all we ask for, but sometimes those subs and bits really do help. Thank you so much, Dark Tetsuyu, for resubscribing, saying happy 53 months plus 38-month streak. Thank you, Twitch Math. Sadly, unlikely, I'm getting my Switch 2 tonight. So no Mario Kart World for us yet. It's unlikely that he's getting a Switch 2 tonight. English was a little weird, but I get it. Unfortunately, there's FedEx is not FedExing properly for Dark Tetsuya. So I very, very much sorry to hear that, Dark Tetsuya. You deserve to have a Switch 2, and you deserve to have that Mario Kart. I'm going to hit the button so we can get out of here. And maybe I can get some more Mario Kart in while listening to OLR. So take care of yourself. Take care of your Switch too. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.